if I'm able to change my perception and say, okay, but he says he's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals me. Well, then now I have something to stand on when I'm going before him and asking for something. Now I have something to stand on because I know for myself who he said he is. Another way to help you understand who God is to create a what I call a reflexive prayer journal. And I know I talked a little bit about a prayer journal a second ago, but when I talk about a reflexive prayer journal, what a reflective prayer journal is a journal where you you write out your prayer to the Lord, and then you sit and you listen for what you believe he's saying to you, and then you write those things down under it. So you first write out your prayer and first write out what God, what you want to say to God, unless he's speaking to you already, then of course, you know, shut up and listen, but and write that down. But if you don't feel God speaking to you at that moment, just take the time to write out your prayer and then write out what you believe he's saying to you under that. And as you begin doing that, you'll be able to go back and read the different things that he said to you, and it'll help you get a better understanding of who he is and who he really wants to be in your life. Of course, you can always, one of the most important ways to understand who God really is to pray and ask him to reveal himself to you. Pray and ask him to reveal himself to you. And he'll do it, and then begin writing out who he says he is. Make a list of all the things that he's done for you in your own life. And then be able to reflect on that and meditate on that and say, okay, he is a God who does all of these things. You know, he took away my sins. He helped me when, you know, when this tragedy or that tragedy happened. He helped me. And so you can begin to connect with him and understand who he is by just taking time to reflect and taking time to meditate on who he says he is, on his words to you in your still prayer time, and then also on the things that he's done in your personal life. So those are just some different ways that you can develop an understanding of who God really is. Remember, I said that was step one to beginning to tear down those walls, is developing an understanding of who God says he is and also who he wants to be in your life. Something else that you can do, and this is just one that I'm adding in here, is to, once as you're coming up with those scriptures that talk about who God is, write those scriptures out on cue cards and begin reading them to yourself and studying them. You know, one thing that I do a lot of times is I write out scriptures when I need to, when I have something that I need to renew my mind on, and I realize that, you know, my thinking on this is not in line with God's word, then what I'll do is I'll get some cue cards and write out the scriptures, write out the truth, because, of course, the truth, knowing the truth will set you free. The truth itself won't set you free if you don't know it. But you have to know the truth, and it'll set you free. So I write out the truth. I write out God's truth on the cue cards, and then I stick them in my purse or in my pocket. And whenever I have a chance, I just pull them out and just kind of read them. And then I just put them back. And, you know, I would do that several times a day, just pull them out. And it could just be three or four scriptures. And what that does is it renews your mind to be in line with God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what the voice that you hear, you know, faith comes by hearing. The voice that you hear more often than anyone else's voice is your own. You hear your voice 24 hours a day. It's in your head. And so if you begin to change that voice by programming it and giving it what to think and giving it what to say, then you can develop your faith, because faith does come by hearing. But if all of the things that you're saying in your mind are constantly negative, then your faith is going to be in negative things. Does that make sense? If you're constantly rehearsing in your mind how things are going to go badly and how things are going to fall apart, you know, every time you step out to do something, you're scared that it's going to fall apart, and you're rehearsing those negative things in your mind. Well, those are the things, the more you rehearse that in your mind, the more you play that in your mental tape player, as I call it, the more you're programming your mind to think that way. But if you force yourself, every time you have that negative thought, and I'm actually getting ahead of myself because I'm going to talk about controlling your thoughts in a second, but every time you have that negative thought, if you force yourself, I'm going to stop and I'm going to pull out my scripture card and I'm going to read my scriptures, because this is what God says about this situation. You know, if the situation is financial, write down a whole bunch of scriptures about what God says about your finances, you know, and read them, put them on cue cards, and pull them out. Whenever you have a negative, fearful thought about your finances, pull that card out and read that card to yourself and say, this is what I believe. I believe the Word of God, and the Word of God is coming to pass in my life because I believe it, and I'm meditating on it, just like God's Word says to meditate on His promises. And so I'm meditating on those promises, and I'm believing them for myself. And you'll begin to transform your mind. And as you transform your mind, and your mind becomes more in line with God's Word, then your mind also becomes more in line with God. And so He's able to speak to you, and you're able to receive what He's saying more clearly and more easily because your mind is already being renewed to be in line with what He says instead of being in line with what the world says. You know, when the Bible says, be ye not transformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. A lot of times we think of that just means don't sin, you know, don't think about sinful things. Well, that's not all that it means. This world's thought process is totally counter to what God's thought process is in every way. The world's thought process says you don't have time to study God's Word. You have too many other things that you need to do. The world's thought process says, you know, you're going to be in debt for the rest of your life and you just need to accept it because no one ever gets out of debt. The world's thought process says if you want a spiritual healing, you're going to have to go and get Reiki or something like that, and that's the only way that you can ever be free from your past. The world's thought process is totally counter to God's thought process. And so the only way that you're going to get God's thought process is to begin reprogramming, or renewing, as the Bible says, but really in plain terms, that's reprogramming your mind by stuffing it so full of God's Word that everything else just kind of leaks out of your ears because there's no room for anything else but His Word and His promises. And one of the things that is going to help you with that, I made two audio affirmations, and I know that I had said before that I was going to give everyone these audio affirmations for free. And so what I want you to do is, now I have to find the page that I put the audio affirmations on so I can give you the web page. Okay. You're going to go to, write this down, because this is where your free audio affirmations are, so that you can go and get them after the webcast is over. The website is www.hemofhisgarmentbiblestudy.org, and there are dashes between each of the words. So it's hem-of-his-garment-bible-study.org, and then /affirmations.html. So when we're all finished with the call today, I want you to go and download those affirmations. And what affirmations are is that affirmations are they're scriptural statements about who you are, and they help you to begin believing what God's Word says versus what's already stuck up there in your mind. You know, and psychologists have proved this, and science has, you know, proven it, of course. But more so than that, God tells us to meditate on His promises. He tells us to speak His Word. And so when we are doing the affirmations, that's actually a biblical practice. It's renewing your mind by filling your mind with who God says you are, and renewing it, and pretty much it's giving you a good brainwashing to the Word of God. Hallelujah. It's just giving you a good brainwashing. And so now that we're just finishing up developing an understanding of who God is, and we're going to go on to the very next one. And the very next step is something that we've talked a lot about over the last few days, and that is getting real with God and getting real with yourself. And what I want you to do, I want you to write that down, but I want you to actually write down this little activity that you can do that's going to help you to do this. This is just a practical thing that you can do, and you can actually add this to your game plan if this is something that you feel like you need to do. But the way that the activity goes, you make a list of all of the areas of your life that are displeasing to you. You know, if you have fear of certain areas, I want you to write those things down. If you have certain sins in your life, I want you to write those things down. If you have issues with unforgiveness and people that you haven't forgiven, I want you to write those things down. And just go through and write down the things in your own life that are displeasing to you. And be honest with yourself. You know, really search your heart. And then once you've done that, I want you to pray and ask God what areas are displeasing to Him. Ask Him to show you what areas are displeasing to Him. What areas in your life does He want you to work on? And I want you to write out that list. And then once you've written out the full list, then I want you to take the entire list before the Lord in prayer and pray over that list and ask God to help you in those areas and just begin to pray and enter into the Spirit of the Lord. You know, start off with some worship, because worship is always better to start off your prayer time with worship. That's another thing that you probably want to write down. It's always good, always better to start off your prayer time with worship, and go ahead and just worship the Lord and thank Him, and then pray over your list and ask Him to help you in those areas, and then worship Him and thank Him for doing it, because that means you have the faith that He's going to do it. So once you've prayed over it, thank Him for helping you with those areas, and then I want you to destroy the list. Once and for all, I want you to destroy the list. If you have a shredder, put it through the shredder. If you have, I don't want you to put it down in the garbage disposal, because that might be bad. But destroy it, you know, rip it up into as many pieces as you can and throw it away. If you have a fireplace, toss it in the fireplace. Get rid of it. And once you've done that, I want you to release those things. As you're tearing it up, just pray, I'm releasing these things. I am releasing these things to the Lord, and I am asking the Lord to help me. And so from now on, I am not going to focus on my shortcomings. I'm going to focus on ways to overcome my shortcomings. From now on, I am not going to focus on my shortcomings. I'm going to focus on ways for me to overcome my shortcomings. Well, what are ways for you to overcome your shortcomings? Pressing into the Spirit of the Lord. Spending time in worship every day. Spending time in prayer every day. You know, spending time in worship doesn't have to mean that you have on praise and worship music. Spending time in worship can just mean that you're sitting in your office chair with your eyes closed for 30 seconds just saying, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Lord, you're so awesome. Lord, you're so worthy. Lord, I glorify you. Lord, I lift you up and praise you and thank you, and just worshiping Him. And so as you're doing those things, as you're worshiping Him, as you're spending time writing in your reflective prayer journal and writing down the things that God is speaking to you, see, He's going to do the work, but you have to become a willing vessel. He's going to do the changing. You cannot change yourself. We've been through this, I know, several times, but I really want it to be drilled into your mind. You cannot change yourself. The Holy Spirit is here to mold you and shape you and help you. You cannot and will not change yourself. As long as you're trying to change yourself, it's going to totally tear you down, and a lot of times it'll put you into almost a state of depression, because you get into that unworthy mindset. Whereas if you're just being real with the Lord and you say, okay, here's my list, here are all the things that I'm giving over to you, and I'm not just going to, you know, expect you to change them and me not doing anything, I'm going to be in your word and I'm going to seek you, but I'm not going to dwell on the problem. I'm going to dwell and focus my thoughts on the solution. And the solution is the Lord. And so instead of looking at me and keeping my eyes focused on me, I'm going to turn my eyes to the cross. And I'm going to see the Lord and His power working in me. You know, one of the affirmations that I used to say to myself all the time, because I had issues with, you know, self-condemnation, and I would say, I do not criticize or condemn the work that God is doing in me. I am a work in progress, and I do not criticize or condemn the work that God is doing on the inside of me. And that's something that you should really start saying to yourself. I am a work in progress. I do not criticize or condemn the work that God is doing in me. And I know we're getting close to time, so I'm going to try to wrap up and try not to go over today. But the next step is to release your past. Release your past. One thing that you can do that is a huge thing, you know, I talk a lot about Bible study, and actually when I started the Hem of His Garment Bible Study.org website, I didn't even know why God was helping me do a Bible study website, because I didn't really think that I was that into Bible study. You know, I've taught Bible studies in the past, but I thought, why would He have me do a Bible study website? Why can't I just do a regular website? But then I realized how much of my own life that I spent in Bible study that I didn't even recognize as Bible study, because it was just a natural part of me seeking the Lord and wanting to know His Word more and wanting to know Him better. But something that can really help you in terms of releasing your past is do a study in the Bible. You know, get a concordance or go to BibleGateway.com and type in different words and look up words that have to do with redeemed or redemption or forgiven or, you know, just anything that, any type of redemptive word. Begin plugging those things in and writing down what God says about how you're forgiven. And this is actually another area that we're going to go into in the course that we're going to be doing in the School of the Spirit. But I think it's so key that we learn to feel forgiven, and then we learn to forgive others. Because those are the two key parts of releasing your past. The two key parts of releasing your past is learning to feel forgiven and learning to forgive others. And one thing that you have to remember as well is that, you know, the way that you feel is really irrelevant. So even though I'm talking about learning to feel forgiven, it doesn't matter if you feel forgiven. You have to get to the point where your emotions are not what drives you. It's God's promises and God's word. Okay? So it doesn't matter if you feel forgiven or not. God's word says you're forgiven. So since His word says you're forgiven, then your feelings become secondary. And if you begin telling yourself that and renewing your mind and finding scriptures that are about God's redemptive power and meditating on those scriptures and allowing those scriptures to renew your mind, then eventually your emotions will change. But your emotions are not going to change before you change your thoughts. And the only way to change your thoughts is to renew your mind and replace those old thoughts with God's new thoughts. The other part of releasing your past, as I said, is forgiving other people. And something that you can do that really freed me, I mean, it set me free. You know, some of you have heard that I've had, I'm a sexual abuse survivor, and I've also, you know, my father was a heroin addict, and I have just had a very, very interesting experiences in my life. And I carried all those things into my relationship with the Lord, and they were all just baggage. And they separated me. They really acted as a barrier between me and the Lord, because I always had my guard up. I trusted God to a certain extent, but not to the point where I trusted Him more than I did myself. So if I felt like He was telling me something, but it didn't make sense, then I was going to do what made sense to me, because I was in self-preservation mode. And until you get from under the yoke of unforgiveness, then you're always going to be in self-preservation mode, even in your relationship with the Lord. So one of the things that really freed me up to experience the forgiveness of God and to share that forgiveness was I made a list of people that had hurt me. And then I began to pray for God to change their lives. I began to pray for God to forgive them for hurting one of his children. I began to pray and ask God to draw them to him and to change them and to help them develop a relationship with him for themselves. And as you do that, your attitude towards them will begin to change. Your anger and your resentment towards them will begin to disappear. And of course, you know, we always hear the scripture, pray for your enemies, pray for your enemies. But a lot of times we don't understand that that's not for them as much as it is for us. It's for them because when you pray, you're opening up the door for God to change them and to connect with them and to change their lives. But it's also for you because God will be able to lift that burden and that heaviness off of your heart. Okay, and we're now down to the final thing that you can do to begin allowing God to break those chains, and that is something that we've already talked a lot about today, but I want to reiterate it. Did I say third? It's the fourth. The fourth and final thing. I'm not sure exactly what I said, but praise God. You guys have to just laugh at me because, you know, with the conference going on, I haven't had as much sleep as I typically would get. So I get a little bit giddy, you know, so you know, just laugh with me. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Let's just take a praise break. He's worthy. Hallelujah, glory. Okay, I hope you're praising with me. I hope you took that opportunity to just praise him for yourself, because I can't praise him for you. I can only praise him for myself. But I hope that you took that chance to praise him for you. But the next thing that we're going to talk about, and this is the final step that I believe that God has given me for us in our quest to release that past baggage and to really take off all the shackles that have been binding us, and that is bringing our thoughts and our emotions in submission to God. And wow, that's a big one. Right, because our thoughts are just going. You know, we talked about this a little bit in the Christian Meditation Seminar, if you've gone through that seminar yet. Our thoughts are always just going. And we have to get to a point where our thoughts are in line with God's Word. But for most of us, I mean, if you just try to do a percentage, I want you to think to yourself, if you had to pick a percentage of how much of your thoughts are actually in line with God's Word, most of us, it will be well below 50%. Things that are in line with God's Word and in line with who he says you are and who he says he is. And a lot of times we don't even realize that our thoughts are contrary to him. You know, when we're sitting there thinking, how are we going to pay these bills? Oh, how are we going to pay these bills? Oh, they're going to end up turning this off. That's contrary to God's Word. That's contrary to his promises for you. You know, when you're sitting there and the doctor gives you a bad report, you know, if you sit there and think, oh, you know, it's over, things are just going to go downhill from here, the best of my life is already passed. You know, as we get older and up in age, oh, the best of my life is already passed. That's not what God says. God says that he has a plan for your life, and his plan is full of hope. He says in his word that he has a plan for you. And so you have to begin to renew your mind. And I'm talking a lot about renewing your mind, but that's just really what God has on my heart today, is that we really have to renew our thoughts to be in line with his, because it's not something that happens instantaneously. See, when you are saved, your spirit changes instantaneously, but your mind does not. And that is why the Bible says renew your mind. And renew is a verb. It's an action word, which means it's not something that's done to you. It's something that you do. It's an action word. You have to renew your mind. Well, how can you start bringing your thoughts and emotions into submission to God? One thing that we've already talked about today, and I can't stress it enough, is spending quality time in his presence. And you want to, at least until you begin feeling him consistently, because as I said before, he's always there, but sometimes we just don't feel his presence. Until you get to the point where you're feeling him consistently with you, then every single day you want to make it a goal to take some time out and spend some time with him. and press in until you feel his presence. And then when you do that, then you'll begin feeling his presence more and more, and you won't have to necessarily stop everything that you're doing to feel it, even though you always want to have those times where it's just you and the Lord and you're focusing in on that. But until you are able to feel as if you're walking with the Lord in the cool of the day, as if you're walking with him through your everyday life, and as if his presence is just surrounding you, and as if he's wrapping his arms around you and carrying you throughout your day, until you get to that point, it needs to be a consistent effort, because like I said, you're practicing his presence. You're practicing opening yourself up. You're practicing quieting down your mind so that you can hear from him. The next thing that you need to do in order to bring those thoughts into submission is to cast down any thoughts that are not of God. You know, God says in his word that we cast down any proud or lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, that includes your own thoughts. You cast down any proud or lofty thing that is against the word of God. Anything that is against the knowledge of who God is and who he says you are, it is your responsibility. And see, that's where we miss out, because a lot of times we're waiting on God to do things for us. It is our responsibility to stop and say, no, I cast that down. I don't receive that. And to replace it with scripture. If you don't know any scripture that replaces it, but you feel in your heart that it's not from God's word, then make it a point later on that day to sit down and look up what does God's word really say, and begin changing that thought. You know, the more that you spend time in God's presence, the more his spirit is going to fill you up, and you'll be able to walk in the fruit of the spirit. You'll be able to renew your mind and experience God's joy and God's peace and God's love. But it's not something that happens instantaneously. It's something that you have to walk out and that you have to seek. You know, when God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added unto you, seek is an action word. Seek is not a passive word, it's an action word. You know, if we talk about seeking something, that is a very active thing. Another thing that is really key, and this is the last thing that we're going to talk about, and then I'm going to do question and answers really quick. If you have a question, go ahead and click on the Ask a Question link over to your left, and then type in your question so we can go ahead and do questions and answers if you haven't typed in your question already. But the final thing that we're going to talk about is doing that in terms of bringing your thoughts and your emotions into submission to God. Do the things that you don't want to do while you don't feel like doing them, just because God said so. Do the things that you do not want to do, even in the midst of not feeling like doing them. You know, wake up 20 minutes early to have praise and worship with the Lord, even though you don't feel like doing it. Why? Because it crucifies your flesh. It crucifies your flesh. And the flesh needs to be crucified daily. Daily. It needs to be buffeted daily. And so make it a practice to do the things that you don't feel like doing, even in the midst of not feeling like it. You know, sometimes we just let our emotions and our feelings just run us. And that's not God's will for you. He wants your spirit to be in control. So I want you to look at your life right now and ask yourself, is my spirit in control, or is my flesh and my mind in control? What is running my life? Because God's spirit is living inside of you. And so if his spirit is living inside of you, then you need to be walking in the spirit. And if you're not walking in the spirit, then you're not going to be able to do the things that he's calling you to do. Okay. Diane asked the question, if you fell away from the Lord, does that mean you have to receive the Holy Spirit again? Now, that's an interesting question. If you fell away from the Lord and you were already saved and you were already experiencing the presence of the Lord, the first thing that you need to do is repent. and come back to the Lord. And I'm assuming that you've probably already done that. But once you repent it, remember, repenting doesn't just mean saying I'm sorry, but it means drawing a line in the sand and having a change of heart and a change of mind and a change of attitude, and having a heart that says, I don't want to grieve the Father anymore. I don't want to hurt the Father anymore. I love Him. And so once you've done that, when you come back to the Lord, if you don't feel God's Holy Spirit, then just continue to press in and continue to bask in His presence. And as you begin to do that, the walls, because probably the reason that you're not necessarily feeling the Holy Spirit is that there are walls up. Okay, there are probably some walls up that have been built there. And so as you continue to pray and press in, you'll start feeling the Holy Spirit again. And remember, one of the signs of having the Holy Spirit is being able to speak in tongues. And I know we talked about that in the seminar on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's actually a bonus seminar, and it's only available in audio. It's still in the conference if you haven't heard that. But, it's biblical. It's what the Word says. And so if you can't believe part of the Word, you have to believe the whole Word. And God's Word says that when you are baptized by the Holy Spirit, that you will speak in tongues. And so that is one of the signs that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that if you were at one time already walking with the Lord, God's Spirit is still with you. God's Spirit is still with you. He said He will not leave you or forsake you. We can leave Him, but He's not going to leave you. And since you've come back to Him, His Spirit is right there with you all over again, just waiting for you to press in and experience it. So feel encouraged that you can get back to that place in the Lord and you can receive His Spirit again. Tracy asked, are you supposed to be singing something? You probably didn't hear me at the beginning, but for some reason our PowerPoints were not working today. So praise the Lord. We have been overcoming some technical challenges just in a lot of different areas, and it's not me, it's the program, and it has been the program for the last 2 days. So we just praise the Lord, and we thank Him that He is worthy, and that He's restoring all of the IT equipment that I touched in the name of Jesus. Okay, Sister Sharon says, Amira, this is a great time hearing about the Word of God. Will you be recording this? Yes, this is being recorded, and so people will be able to download this and to listen to it at a later date, as well as I know some people have been asking about the conference. If you missed any part of the conference is up indefinitely. It will always be up. So at any point, anyone can come back in and hear everything. They can also, you can also refer it to other people. If you have people that you feel in your heart could be blessed by it, please refer them to it, and they will be blessed, just like we've all been blessed. So does anyone else have any questions? I don't know about, Diane says, I don't know about the speaking in tongues. I never understood that. Could you explain what speaking in tongues is? Speaking in tongues, wow. I don't know if I can do it in the amount of time that we have left, but if you go into the conference and you go into yesterday's session, there is all the seminars there, and one of the seminars is on the Holy Spirit, and under it, there is a special 45-minute talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that is by Minister Tara McNair. She is an awesome, awesome minister, and she talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and she explains speaking in tongues so well there that I feel like I'm going to do you a disservice if I try to do it in a few minutes, honestly. And I want you to get a full understanding of it. I want God to be able to really reveal to your heart what it means, and so I don't want to, you know what I mean. I don't want to rush through it. One thing that I can say is that when you look in the book of Acts, they do talk about speaking in tongues, and they also talk about the fact that speaking in tongues was the evidence that someone had been filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're speaking in tongues, it's you're not speaking to man, you're speaking to God. The Bible says that you are speaking directly to the Lord. You are not speaking, you're not speaking to man, and the Holy Spirit is actually interceding through you and speaking for you, because you don't always know exactly what needs to be prayed. There's also a Bible study, I just thought about this, if you go on the Hem of His Garments Bible study website, the main website, if you go into the Holy Spirit Felt Living course, there's actually an entire Bible study lesson on speaking in tongues, and it explains that pretty well. So hopefully, I hate to not totally answer your question, Diane, but I don't want you to feel like you didn't get the whole thing, so I hope that's okay. Sharon asks, could you give the web address again for the affirmations? Yes, the web address for the affirmations is www.hemofhisgarmentbiblestudy.org/affirmations.html. So that's www.him-of-his-garment-bible-study.org/affirmations. And the affirmations are very short, and the reason that they're short is because if they were long, people wouldn't use them. If you are not part of a church and need a prayer partner because the Bible says, do you need a prayer partner because the Bible says where two or three are gathered together? One of the things that you can do is to find a prayer partner. That is an excellent thing to do. But God doesn't just abide with two or three people. He also says that He's with you and that He'll answer your prayers as well. So you don't have to have a prayer partner to have your prayers answered. God can minister to you and hear your prayers with just the two of you praying. And just you and the Holy Spirit can be your two. I'm going to answer one more question. Let's see, does anyone else have a question? We'll do one more and then we'll close, because I know we're over time and people have other things that they need to do. Going once, going twice. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and close. And so what I... one thing I know that I was supposed to talk more about, the School of the Spirit, there's actually a link in the handout that I sent to you about the School of the Spirit, and you can go to the School of the Spirit homepage by going to school.hemofhisgarmentbiblestudy.org. So it's just school.hemofhisgarmentbiblestudy.org. Or you can just use the link that I put in the handout that I've sent to you, and it will go into the School of the Spirit. Registration for the School of the Spirit starts today, and it will last up until next Thursday. Once registration is closed, I will not be opening up registration again until mid-September, because this course that we're doing right now is only for people who were a part of the Reaching for the Hem Conference. It is exclusively for you all. No one else can get into the course. So it's just something that I did to be a blessing to everyone that was part of the course, and I just felt like God put it on my heart to have something special available for you. So you can actually go to that website, as I said, school.hemofhisgarmentbiblestudy.org, and it will tell you more about the School of the Spirit and the specific course that we're going to be going over. It's going to be an awesome spirit-filled time, and I am excited about it. So if you have any questions about that, then... Oh, thank you, Sherry. Sherry said she didn't have a question. She just wanted to let me know that she loved the conference, and thank you. It was a joy to do, and I'm just so thankful that the Lord let me do it and that He sent so many awesome people to be a part of it. And so with that, we are going to close out. If you have any questions about the School of the Spirit, go ahead and email me. Everyone should have my email address. Just reply to one of the many emails that you've received from me, and or if you just have questions about it or about what you can do next, even if it's not about the school of the Spirit, if you just have questions about what you can do next and about applying God's Word to your own life, just go ahead and shoot me an email, and that's fine. I'll be getting up a video that will tell you a little bit more about the School of the Spirit. I'll be putting that up tomorrow on the School of the Spirit homepage. So with all of that, everyone have a blessed day, and thank you so much for fellowshipping with us and for coming to join us at the Reaching for the Him Conference. God bless.